The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to say that.
I'm on her side, and I don't know exactly what her side is.
I think you're totally spot on with that.
I sound inept just to help you out.
It's been a rough week, thanks to your advice.
Are you a regular listener to this program?
As much as I can be.
There's your problem.
I would not ever disagree with you because you're so smart. You have a lot of answers to a lot of things.
You don't want to listen to me on the radio.
So what do?
I can't give you any direction.
Thank you for empowering me. I needed that.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
Well, do you know somebody who does?
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
They asked me once to do some writing for our church bulletin. I did a little bit. But I got nervous, because these church bulletins, sometimes there are, well, not so much typos, but anybody who writes knows that if you don't put your dependent clauses in the right place, you can say something you didn't mean to say. These are some actual church bulletins. Announcements. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Now, see, they're referring to the nursery, but it sure sounds like they're referring to the children. Barbara remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She is also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Father Jack's sermons. Mm-hmm. One more. Irving Benson and Jesse Carter were married on October 24th in the church. So ends a friendship that began in their school days. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Grindy. Hopefully, I will not reiterate any of these kinds of catechetical mispronunciations, not catechetical, catechetical difference. Look it up. The number to get onto the program, if you should so desire, is 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. My first line call screamer, Eric Dumont, says, give out the phone number a whole lot. Just give it out. Give it out. Why? People want to call. They should have the emergency number on the refrigerator. They should have it in the bathroom mirror, on the remote, back of the iron. 877-57-EQUAL. If you would like to get onto the program to ask a question about something in your life, your circumstances, person, place, thing, rock, paper, scissors. Or if you have a generic question or a question where psychology intersects with faith. If you have struggles liking somebody, not liking somebody, frustrated over getting someone to behave in a certain way and they're just not going to do it, not going to do it. So 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. Sorry, have somebody call and hang up already? I didn't even say anything. Comment. All right, I'll take the comment. You ever tried teaching manners to a little kid? Whether you're a parent, whether you're a grandparent, you're out in public. Somebody hands his child a cookie. And you're waiting. You want to show off a little bit. You want this little four-year-old, this five-year-old to say thank you. And people look at you like, oh, isn't that sweet? Aren't you so good at teaching them manners? And you're waiting, and it ain't happening. And the cookie is heading straight for the mouth. So you do one of two things. You passively say something like, what do you say? Or you do what my mother did to me. She grabbed my wrist before the cookie got to my mouth and stopped me. Raymond, that's all she had to say is, Raymond. And I knew I had to say thank you. Sometimes I try to pull it toward my mouth with her hanging on, but I was only five. I couldn't do that. As I got older, though, when I got to be about 14 or 15, I was stronger than she was. So then when she grabbed my wrist, I could pull a cookie all the way in no matter what. But you want this child to exhibit manners, right? Courtesy, politeness, respect for other people, manners. So you help a little more. What's the magic word? Remember your manners. Not going to happen. So what do you do? Well, you grab a fleshy part of the upper arm. You start to squeeze a little bit. And you say, "Say thank you." Whispering in their ear, kind of through gritted teeth. That's why you got TMJ, temporomandibular joint dysfunction, because you don't want to yell out in public, so you grit your teeth. The child looks at you and says, "Ow, you're hurting me." So you've had enough. In a fit of parental resolve, you take what's left of the cookie. Ain't real, it's kind of soggy. You give it back to the person who gave it to her. They're looking at you like, "No, I'm not touching that thing. That thing is soaking." And you tell the person, "Well, we have a rule. If you don't say thank you, you can't keep it. That's our rule." She didn't say thank you. I prompted her 3 times just to avoid a scene, and I still didn't avoid a scene, so thank you. Now, why did you do this? Why did you work so hard at inculcating manners? Why? Okay, it's a couple of words. Please, thank you, excuse me. Because basic courtesy makes an enormously good first impression. Especially the younger the kid. Well, you get a 2-year-old doing it, you really look good. Rubs off on you. Or it's respect, it's dignity, it's social grace. Those are just little words, but they convey a lot more than just little words. Please, thank you, excuse me. Those are all single-syllable words except excuse. So why do you do it? Why do you work so hard? Thousands of times before a kid even reaches first grade, you're working on manners. Dr. Ray, come on. That's an exaggeration. Oh, really? If you do it 3 times a day in 1 year, that's 1,000. You do it because manners are important. And you want them to learn them. Got it. Do you use the same manners with your spouse? Do you use the same manners with those you love? Even with your kids. Even with your kids. Please pick up your toys. Now, please does not mean you're making a request. It means you're asking nice. You want them to pick up their toys, and there's going to be results if they don't. Could lose some toys. But please is good. Don't worry, Kate. I got an answer for you. Don't leave me. Hang in there. Here's the question. Do you use the manners of a 5-year-old with your spouse, with those you love? Or have you just gotten sloppy? You don't say please or thank you all that much anymore. You've gotten the familiarity of the conversation. Hey, get me a cup of coffee, would you? You got those pants washed for me? You ask nice, maybe, but the please is not there. The thank you's not there. How often do you thank your spouse a day just for doing little things? Maybe they put a drink in front of you. Thank you. Or you walk in from having done something outside and your spouse says, "Hey, appreciate that very much. Thank you." See, I submit we don't do that. We get sloppy. We get very, very sloppy. And the last people we should get sloppy with are those we love. So on one hand, we are diligent, some might say very pressing, in teaching manners to little kids. But yet, as we get older and we should know better, we let them slide. I've seen a lot of teenagers that don't have the manners of a 5-year-old. I've seen a lot of spouses that don't have the manners of a teenager. So that's my suggestion. Please, listen. Use your manners with those you love more and more. Pleases and thank yous, they're warm words. They do a lot for a relationship. They really do. Thank you. I'm Dr. Ray.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
And now, the EWTN Family Prayer with Father Joseph.
Family, a prayer that we pray together is a powerful prayer. So please pray together with me, our EWTN Family Prayer. Today we pray for the caregivers of the sick. O Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we adore you. You have first loved us, and through your Son you have taught us the excellence of self-giving love. Give to those who are caregivers of a sick parent or child, brother or sister, the assistance of your holy angels. Lessen their burdens and give them great joy in practicing a work of mercy. And since charity is never forgotten by you, reveal to them their heavenly reward. Amen.
Do you wish you could have discussions about difficult topics with your adult children? If so, don't worry, you're not alone. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak, and our new book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, can help you draw closer to your adult children and help guide them on the path to more faithful and meaningful lives.
You can get our latest book and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Having an in-body experience as we speak, feeling like I'm trapped inside my body, looking out my eyes. What a weird sensation. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarini, and very grateful that I can be here with you. The number to get on to the program, if you have a question, comment, concern about, let's narrow it down. Life from conception to infinity. How about that? If it falls outside that boundary, don't call in. 877-57-EQUAL. Now, we have a young lady here, which I think she's appropriately named. I truly do. She's Faith. Faith from Florida. Hi, Faith.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
People are badgering you, huh?
Oh, man. And I think the biggest problem is not the badgering. It's the inability to respond. Yeah, so I'm new to the Catholic faith. I'm obsessed and I'm in love. And I just am so excited to have found this doctrine after being raised Protestant my whole life. And so, you know, naturally, my family and friends who are Protestant have all of these understandings of the Catholic faith that they'd like to bestow upon me. But, you know, being in RCIA and reading the catechism and all of the amazing works or written works on the Catholic doctrine, I feel that they are telling me incorrect straw man versions of the doctrine of the Catholic Church. And I think my biggest question is, how does one combat, like, becoming incredibly irate and not very nice when responding to people about things like this, just because I'm sort of defensive about it, naturally, but I'd like to learn how to not be.
Well, Faith, you've come to the right place. I, being a paragon of maturity, will give you a technique, I think, that you can use that, well, I've latched onto it. It's very simple. It's, somebody says something like that that throws you for a loop. You say, I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever bounces off me sticks on you. No reversies. I think that's pretty much is something useful all the way across all situations. Let me ask you a number of questions, dear lady.
Yes.
These friends that are questioning you, really in some respects assaulting your decisions, yes. Are they practicing Christians? In other words, does their faith mean a whole lot to them? Or are these folks that you would look at and say, well, they call themselves Christian, but kind of for the most part, I really don't know how much it means to them. But now they're just upset because you have left the group.
Well, yeah, the ones that I am partaking in a conversation with are the ones that do love God and regard their status as a Christian highly in their life.
Okay.
But that's good. Continue. Sorry.
All right. Good. Next question. Mm-hmm. When they quiz you, what percentage of the time do they throw a Bible verse at you and say, the Bible says this? Huh? What are you going to do about that? Huh? How often do you get that?
Yeah, a lot. A lot of epistles, Pauline epistles thrown at me.
Sure. Here's one of the things that I learned. I'm saying this only for your comfort. It sounds like you already know this, but I'll just add another voice to it. When I left the church and was out in the evangelical world for about 8 years, mm-hmm. I heard an awful, awful, awful lot of the Bible verses that were supposedly to dispute the Catholic Church's understanding of Christ and his church. And as I came back toward the church, I said, well, I want to find out what the church says about these verses. If you just take them out of context, and if you just take them superficially, wow, call no man father. Wow, where is the where is Blessed Virgin's come on, Raymond, basically going into heaven, body, and soul. Where is that? Mm-hmm. So all of this, where is that in the Bible kind of thing? And I found that the church had tremendous answers to this, logically, historically, scripturally consistent. I found that. I didn't know that when I was in the evangelical world. So there for a while, I got thrown for a loop. Right? So I'm telling you, you don't have to be thrown for a loop, because even though you can't answer those, there are very good answers, very good answers, very solid answers. The other thing you can take comfort in is that if that is all that you get challenged with, particular verses, particular, why do you Catholics do that? That's not in the Bible. If that's all you're getting challenged with, if that's the bulk of it, then that is among the shallowest of arguments, and they can easily be answered. Now, you won't change too many minds, I'll tell you that right now. I didn't.
Right.
If once I got to know the faith very well, I could, and I don't say this in a bad way, I could twist somebody into knots. It didn't matter. So what? Their right. view was, I'm right. I know what this is. I've known that the Catholic Church is wrong all my life, and there's no way I'm even going to consider the Catholic Church. So, Faith, there must be something wrong with you to even consider mm-hmm. the Catholic Church.
Right.
You're misguided. You're getting the wrong information from the church. They're trying to fool you. This is not what they think. This is not what they're like. That's what you're getting. Now, right. one of the things that I always asked people when they did this to me, I'd say, Are you interested in knowing
mm-hmm.
the church's view on this or not? See, because it sounds like what you're saying is they just want to challenge you. They don't want to hear what the church would say about this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's big. Just say, are you interested in hearing why the church teaches this or not? Now, a very, very simple way to get every answer you want to anything they throw at you. You go to Catholic.com, and that is the website for Catholic Answers, and you type mm-hmm. in the question, why do we believe that Mary was assumed into heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we think purgatory is a state, place, time of purification? Where does that come from? scripturally, right, logically, historically. Where is this coming from? They will have beautiful, easy to read articles on all this. And you will do what I did.
Catholic.com?
Catholic.com. You will do what I did. For the last 25 years, every time I got a question, every time I didn't understand something, I thought, I got to figure this out. I got to see what the response is from the church. And the interesting thing that happened, when you first come to the church, you got a little skittishness in you, don't you? The thinking, somebody's going to say something that's going to throw me for a loop, and it's going to shake up my faith.
Right.
That's not going to happen. The more I got into why the church teaches as she does, the more I became convinced of her depth. I kind of think of myself as a rational guy, and something's got to make sense to me, at least to my abilities anyway. And as I got deeper and deeper into the church, I saw how coherent she was in her teaching about morals and doctrine. I have a book for you might be interested in. It's my own book, actually. It's called What Catholics Really Believe. And it is a series that I did for EWTN with a priest. This was shortly after I came back to the Catholic Church. And I peppered him with objections on baptism, on the Eucharist, on Mary, on Scripture, on Jesus, on tradition, on purgatory, on the papacy. I just peppered him. Why do you do this? Why do you baptize a baby? Baby doesn't know what's going on. Baby, hey, there's a lot of Catholics that get baptized, and it doesn't mean anything to them because they just leave the faith. Why do you do that? How can you possibly believe that white wafer is the God of the universe? How can you possibly believe that? It says there, right there, do this in remembrance of me. That's a memory thing. Come on. How can you misinterpret that word? I did that to him, the whole series. 13 episodes we did for EWTN. They ran it, and I wanted them to run it again because I look a lot younger, because this was way back, and I still looked cool. But I do have that transcript in a book. It is on my website, okay, drray.com, What Catholics Really Believe. And it is a dialogue between me and that priest. And I played the part of your friends. I played the part of the person who says, wait a minute, you Catholics. Why are you doing that? Why are you thinking that? So hopefully, my dear, that's enough to get you started in a decent direction anyway, huh?
Yes, thank you so much.
Hey, if I made a book sale, you know, you always want to have a call where you can make a book sale. That's because, you know, it's like an extra $3.
Thank you so much, doctor. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Faith, do you have any final question for me in terms of, I know I just gave you a bunch of generic stuff, but in terms of maybe something that somebody threw at you you didn't quite know or understand?
I guess it's more of, it's a weird feeling internally where when I heard of the Catholic faith and started this journey, everything seemed to be falling into place that was misunderstood for me when I was in the Protestant church. Like I knew all of these character qualities of God, but, you know, feeling like I was left behind without, you know, some of the sacraments described as it is described in the Catholic Church, and also, you know, the saints and Mary and what we have through them. I think the biggest thing is I believe everything I hear, not just because I'm told to, but I truly believe it on the inside of my heart, you know, written inside my heart. And so when I hear something of the Protestant faith, say they're trying, a certain friend is trying to get me to believe that Catholics believe that it's works that we're, you know, working towards for our salvation, and it doesn't matter about Jesus Christ for us as Catholics, I just know it's wrong.
It is wrong. And I think, and the sad thing of it is, Faith, they're not willing to acknowledge, perhaps I misunderstand. That was one of the things, believe it or not, that convinced me that the church was who she said she was, when so many others that call themselves Christians looked at the church and said, you're not Christian. You're so wrong. Thank you, Faith.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John, chapter 8, verse 51. Jesus is in a discussion with some of the leaders of the Jews. They're talking about Abraham. Abraham lived 1,500 years before the time of Jesus. So in the course of the discussion, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." He says that often in the Gospels. "He who keeps my word or believes in me will never die." To which the Jews say, "Now we know you have a demon." And they say, "Abraham died, as did the prophets. All the patriarchs, the great men and women of the history of Israel. All these people died, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets, who died?" And Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." To which the Jews say, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" And Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am."
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God, but I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have. And we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence. And in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Dr. Ray Guarendi of The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Co-production, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, and the Ave Maria Radio Communications folks. The number to get on to the program is 877-57-EQUAL. And remember, you call later in the show, you don't get in line. We select calls on many variables, so you can call at any time and have pretty much a very close to equal chance of getting on. If faith is still there, I want to address something with faith that I oftentimes use in my talks. I have a talk called The Logic of Being Catholic. And I talk about how logic and reason brought me back to the Catholic Church. Here's one of the themes. Most people, even very faith-filled non-Catholics, don't know where the Bible came from. They don't know how they got the Bible that they use to say the only thing you use as a Christian is the Bible. They don't know where that came from. Now, logically speaking, that Bible had to come from somewhere. It didn't drop out of the sky. At the time that the Bible was formally put together as we know it, 27 books in the New Testament and 46 in the Old. We'll get to the disagreement of Protestants on the number of books in the Old in a second. How did that happen? Well, historically, this is fact. The Catholic Church had a gathering of bishops long around the end of the 4th century and said, okay, we really got to decide what our scripture is here. And we got to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we're not guided by the Holy Spirit. We could be wrong. What good is the Bible if you don't know you got the right Bible? If there are books not there that should be there, and if there are books that should be there that are not there. So you got a real conundrum here to basically say, we got to have the Bible. What is it? What does God want us to have? Well, the bishops got together under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure they prayed a lot to the Holy Spirit because obviously they were aware of their proclivity to be human and be wrong. So, non-Catholic Christians believe that the Bible, the New Testament, the 27 books of the New Testament, was given to them by the Holy Spirit. Now, many of them won't go so far as to say, well, yeah, but it was a Catholic Church working with the Holy Spirit. They won't say that. What they will say is the Holy Spirit didn't need the Catholic Church. The Holy Spirit could use a seven-year-old. It was the Holy Spirit who put the Bible together. Okay, fair enough. Catholic Church believes that too. Here is the logic problem. At the time when the Bible was put together by the Holy Spirit through the Catholic Church, but let's just leave the Catholic Church out of it. Let's just say the Holy Spirit did it. None of those bishops, what the heck, didn't need them. Holy Spirit did it. 27 books in the New Testament, which non-Catholic Christians agree with. They say, yeah, 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 that's right. That's the right New Testament, right? Got it. But the Old Testament should not have, you Catholics, 46 books plus a couple of additions and a couple of others. Shouldn't have that. I was wrong. Should only be 39 books in the Old Testament. So where's the logic problem? Well, here's the logic problem. The Holy Spirit got it right on the New Testament. That's what non-Catholic Christians believe. But you have to conclude he got it wrong on the Old Testament. And it was not corrected until 1,100 years later when Martin Luther said these books don't belong in there. Now, if you want to say, yeah, that's how the Holy Spirit works. That's what he did. That's, he gave us the Bible in 1,000-plus years apart. I suppose you can say that. I mean, it's plausible. How likely? See, for me, on one hand, if you acknowledge that you have the Bible, the perfect Bible in the New Testament, if you're not Catholic, you're admitting that you didn't have the right Bible in the Old Testament until 1500 and something. Okay, I guess if the Holy Spirit was guiding the process, he apparently then only chose to guide part of the process, right? Those 46 books were there. They were there in the Greek Old Testament, the one that Jesus and the apostles used and quoted from most of the time. They were there. And they were there until the 1500s. When Martin Luther said they shouldn't be there because a lot of the early Jews, the descendants of the Pharisees, said, yeah, wait a minute, that's not the Old Testament we use. So in part, Luther said, well, I'm going to trust those Jewish people who said that it's not the Old Testament we use. But there's an irony to that, too. He allowed himself to be influenced by people who didn't even believe Christ was the Messiah. Interesting logic problem. All right. Okay. Cindy from Newport, California. Boy, what a beautiful place that is. I was out there years and years and years ago, Cindy, in Newport. Is that Newport Beach?
Yes.
Wow. Boy, those houses around that place, those things look like hotels.
You are so, Dr. Ray, before I ask you my questions, you are absolutely fabulous. You are so intelligent, so smart, and so funny that you get through to people. And I just love listening to your show.
Don't ask a question. You're not done with the accolades yet. You obviously have more superlatives. I've still got 25 minutes.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. And handsome.
Well, that one.
There you go.
Wait a minute. But that picture that picture I'm using is my high school senior picture.
Well, that makes me dovetail into my question. I have two questions.
Yep.
Number one is, but the one that number one is, when is your Jesus, a Master Psychologist, coming out on audio? Because I really just listen to books on tape. And the second question, speaking of handsome, is how does one age gracefully without being a big baby about it?
Oh, boy, that's a good one. That one hits me right in the face. Cindy, don't leave me. Stay right there. I shall address those. Got it. I'm Dr. Ray, going to talk to Cindy. If you'd like to talk after Cindy, 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL.
Welcome to Spirit of Stewardship. Jeremy Belsky is your host for real life stories, encouragement, and ideas to enhance your own gifts of work, wealth, and wisdom in response to God's blessings for you.
I'm Jeremy Belsky, and today's topic is Stewardship of the Environment, God's Creation of Nature. When you hear the message, be a wise steward of your resources, do you ever consider the role you play in your community environment? It's natural to think of time, talent, and treasure when stewardship is mentioned, but our faith teaches us that all is gift from God. Thus, respect for nature and doing our part to ensure a safe and clean environment is important. Here are just three areas we can pay more attention. A lot of action has been taken in recent years by nonprofits geared towards a cleaner environment. The first area of focus is to eliminate litter. Consider how your actions to pick up after yourself are pleasing to God. Be proud to do your part to keep your community and neighborhood clean. Secondly, look at ways to recycle and make the most out of your purchases. Does it matter to you that so much plastic consumes our landfills? Have you given thought as to how you can make a particular purchase last longer? Third, in a country filled with abundance, what's being done to ensure our nature and environment for the next generation? This is more than eating bread crust and cleaning off your plate. The root lies in not wasting what we've been given. There's a great deal of time and effort that goes into caring for our place of residence in addition to our possessions. Keeping up what is ours or giving our used possessions to the less fortunate are a couple of ways to be prudent stewards of our blessings from God. I'm Jeremy Belsky, your host for Spirit of Stewardship.
To learn how you can better share your talents and resources, contact your local parish priest. Your level of involvement in the church now positively impacts our faith in the future.
Thank you for joining me, Dr. Ray Grandy here. I'm talking to, I don't know her at all. I don't know her whatsoever. However, I love her already. She's obviously a very in-tuned, on-target, enormously insightful woman. And I owe her an apology because as she was gushing about my accolades, I cut her off. I shouldn't have cut her off. I mean, I know there was more superlatives she wanted to use, and I should have let her use them. But, now I have to go on to her questions, which are good ones. Hi, Cindy!
Well, we ended with my saying that you're very handsome. Do you remember that?
Well, because given my age, I don't remember that. But if you remind me, I think I can remember it.
Now, see, we are the same age. That's where I'm going. Number one, I want to know about your book audio. But number two is what does Jesus say? And I know he talked about Peter. When he said, other people will help you. You're young now, but when you get old, people will help you walk and talk. How does Jesus advise us on aging gracefully?
Well, let's do the audio thing. The most recent several books are from Sophia Press, which is a publishing arm of EWTN. So they would know, Sophia Press, you call them and you say, hey, which ones of that wonderful human being, handsome guy that you have as an author? And they'll say, who?
Okay.
And you say, Ray Grandy. And they'll go, who? So just ask them, because they know I don't. I don't know which ones they put on Kindle. I do know this, though. You can download my Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime book on audio from my website.
No, I want, but I saw those, and because I'm on audio books, and I saw those, too, so you know. But I really want Jesus as the master psychologist. So I will call, what are they called, Sophia?
Sophia Press.
Press.
They'll,
okay.
They'll know it.
And I
would
find out.
My guess would be Amazon does have them on audio. That'd be my guess.
No.
Oh, they don't?
No, they don't.
Oh, those bums.
No.
All right.
Well, I know.
That's just they're fighting us.
But you don't remember.
People.
My question, though, is you don't remember reading it yourself and doing it.
Well, I can read it out loud to you. If you call in tomorrow on the show, I'll start reading it. I don't know how many shows it'll take. All right. Now,
that's funny. Okay.
The aging gracefully thing. I don't normally say, when people ask questions, I don't normally say, that's a great question. I don't say that because pretty soon you can say that all the time and it's meant to be a compliment, but after a while, it's like giving everybody A's. A's come to mean nothing. So yours is a question that hits me right in the face, literally. I'll tell you why. When I was younger, I loved being younger. I loved running and jumping and playing and lifting weights and being youthful and being one of the young ones and all of it. I loved it. But then as you get older, the stuff that you liked so much about being at least physically human, not even, I think mentally you grow hopefully in wisdom, but physically human goes away. You know that, Cindy. It does. And you become more...
I don't like that.
I know, ma'am, I know, but you become more invisible to the culture at large. And I talked about this last week, I think, on a monologue, that older people are invisible.
That's funny.
However,
yeah, that's funny, yeah.
The principles our Lord would give us, he doesn't really directly say, okay, here's how you age gracefully. And when he was speaking about Peter, he was really predicting how Peter would be killed, how he would be crucified. He wasn't really saying this is how you're gonna age kind of thing. However, what's clear is that the principle is vanity. In other words, looking at yourself and saying, boy, I sure look good. Wow, look at that. Huh? Nice. Is wrong. It's just wrong. Because our Lord's very clear about this. Our Lord is very clear. The soul is what matters, and he's obviously spoken all over the place in Scripture on that. Here's how I personally fight it. I always tell myself when I see more gray hairs or I don't have the strength that I used to have or a girl that through a drive-thru that would have smiled at me now barely even looks up as she hands me my change and says, get lost, pops. As that happens, I tell myself, Ray, do you realize God has let you live this long? I flip it around,
that's
Cindy.
Yeah.
I do. I flip it around. Yeah, I am the age I am, but many people don't get to be the age I am. Matter of fact, the majority, the vast majority of people in the history of the world didn't get to be the age I am. So rather than looking at it and saying, boy, can't I be 35 again? I say...
You know, and that's good for you. That's what my husband says, Tom, and how lucky we are to have been and be... so healthy at this age, right?
Yes, it is. And I have to tell myself that over and over because when I look in that mirror and I say, wait a minute, who's that dude looking back at me? I don't recognize that dude because in my head, I'm 28 years old. But that body ain't 28 years old.
Well, you're very handsome. It'll take a while for you to...
Well, you better check on your cataracts. That's all I got to say.
Okay, I promise.
Cindy, that's one of the, you know, that's one of the sins I confess when I go into confession, vanity. I say that. I say, Father, I want to confess the sin of vanity. That, you know, there's a line between trying to look good and keeping yourself in shape and reveling in looking good and keeping yourself in shape. That's the sinful part. The healthy part is saying, "Yeah, I want to stay in shape. God has given me this body; it still works. I want to do these things." But you're right; it is something that And I see this with my friends getting older. It's something that we all struggle with, which is we weren't physically what we once were. But at the same time, I would never want to go back to age 30 and give up what God has allowed me to know now.
I love that. I agree. I love that. I love that.
You love me even more now than you even did when you first called, right?
And one last thing, my husband makes me laugh because he'll say, you know, if I bring up something, he'll say, well, I give up. And I laugh. And I said, Tom, I can still dye my hair. That's not getting too vain because I don't want to give up, as they say.
Yeah, you don't want to just simply go, okay, I'm going to stop doing even the slightest things I can do. Yeah,
I'm going to eat what I want and I'll have French fries every day. Right.
I know. And you're right. I think we owe it to our Lord to take care of this body that he's given us.
And God bless him.
Cindy,
so
you can call every day. What you do is call every day, would you? And then just kind of have some new superlatives and we'll use them.
Oh, you're so cute. Thank you, Dr. Ray, for being there. I have to tell you, I really sincerely mean it. I'm not laughing right now. A friend of mine committed suicide 2 years ago, and I called you and I couldn't talk. I hung up. And within the next 6 months, I listened to you almost every day. And you really helped because I have never, ever been through anything that seemed like it was from a TV show. I mean, it was so horrible. And I still can't believe it even to this day, but it's been 2.5 years. Thank you so much for everything you say and do for people. I can think of 5 quotes. I remember everything you said. So it's not just lip service is my point.
Well, I just want to say, when you hung up on me, don't think that didn't bring back memories of girls in college when I would call and say, hi, this is Ray, and then click. So, yeah, you brought back a lot of bad stuff. Cindy, I'll talk to you. Thanks so much. I'll see you later.
See you. Bye.
Bye, honey. This is Dr. Ray, hanging up on you.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, 2 of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I went to Las Vegas years and years ago for one of these cable shows. And I was shocked to see all these old ladies in their 70s and 80s getting off that plane, running for a slot machine. You don't have a chance to win. They're all fixed. I know, my uncle used to have slot machines.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here, heading toward the final lap of the program. A couple more of these actual from church bulletins. Just goes to show you what can happen if you don't put your dependent clauses in the right place. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, What is Hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. Uh-huh. Or this one. And this is a classic example of where you put that dependent clause, that modifier. Please place your donation in the envelope along with the deceased person you want remembered. All right, enough of those. We'll get to a few more of them later on. Pete called, and he didn't want to hang. But here's what he said, and I told the boys I'd address this. He said a lot of people complain that pro-lifers, he used the word pro-lifers, are one-issue voters when they vote on politicians. Now, you know the argument I give to that one when somebody says that? Somebody says, "Why not? I'm a one-issue voter. I'm not a one-issue voter." I said, well, I got a question for you. And usually if this is an older person, let's say this is somebody 66, 67, 70. So what if a guy was running and he said, you agree with every single political position he has except one. And the one position he had was older people use up the vast majority of our health resources. That's a fact. So anybody over 70 should no longer be able to have any health resources unless they can pay for themselves out of pocket. Would you vote for him? Now, I've never had anybody say, of course I would. They'd look at me and they don't say anything. They just look at me and I say, well, you see, then you are a one-issue voter. It just depends upon what the issue is. But here was Pete's comment. He said, after the recent Roe v. Wade repeal, it seems like there are going to be a lot of those one-issue voters from the other side, from the pro-abort side. Well, that seems to be the thinking among those that plan political calculations. However, will it be that way? What remains to be seen is how will those people who think that saving a baby's life in the womb is a critical issue? As a matter of fact, I personally, and I think the church says this too in the catechism, can't vote for someone who says it's okay. I am going to do my best to make it so that someone, if they so choose, can end the life of a baby in the womb. Now, one might say, well, wait a minute, is that a baby? Well, what they wanted to do was to codify. And those of you who don't know this, I'm going to tell you this. You can say this to all of your Catholic friends who are going to vote for politicians who, in fact, have done it. They've done their very best to pass this. And it didn't get through the Senate. That's why it didn't pass. Which was, bill introduced, abortion to the day of birth. That's right. You heard me. To the day of birth, for any reason. Now, it didn't pass, didn't get through the Senate, but it didn't get through the Senate because of a couple of Democrat senators. And they knew it wouldn't get through the Senate. But the fact that it had overwhelming support in the House among a certain political party says to me that if you don't call that a one issue, if you can say it's okay to end the life of a baby as it is coming down the birth canal, if that's not big enough to be a one issue, I don't know what is. But I'll take it a step further. In Virginia, when the pro-life governor won, of the people who said that the life issue was their number one voting issue, of the people who said that, 60%, according to the surveys, voted pro-life. You got that? So the wave of pro-abortion voters, the one-issue pro-abortion voters, if there is such a thing, didn't happen. The pro-life voters outvoted the pro-abortion voters if all that was at the top of their voting priority was the issue of life. So sometimes you can't just predict some of these things. All right, thanks for joining me. I got to go. I'm Dr. Ray. Thanks, Andy Krucek, producer man, and Eric Dumont, call screamer man. And I thank all of you. Walk with God. And if Cindy's listening, walk with God, because he's way, way, way older than us. We're young compared to him.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.